You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
We're in a series talking about the Holy Spirit. Just before I start, actually, Tim was saying that God changes our name, and I just felt for somebody here, God wants to say, He wants to change your name to Belong. You don't feel like you belong, but you belong in God's family. It's called to be part of God's family. And you'll know it's that's you. Today I want to talk about spiritual gifts, gifts of the Spirit. I particularly want to talk about the gift of prophecy. That's what I've planned, but I do feel maybe God will take me somewhere else. So we'll see where we go. If you want to learn about spiritual gifts in the Bible, then I haven't got time to talk about them all today and all the teaching on that. Read the book of 1 Corinthians, chapters 12, 13, and 14, and ask God to reveal to you, speak to you, but there's some teaching in there. And read the book of Acts. See some of the gifts in operation. But I'm going to start by reading 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 11. I'm going to be picking some verses out of those three chapters, 12, 13, and 14, just to explain a bit about the gifts. And I'm going to focus in on prophecy, I think. See how it goes. From verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To each one, God has given you a manifestation of the Spirit of God for the good of all. Yeah? Bible says that. So, say to yourself, God has given me a manifestation of this Holy Spirit. God has given me a manifestation of the Holy Spirit for the good of everybody here. You don't sound very convinced, but it's true. And then he goes on to describe nine gifts. He says, to one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of languages. And to still another, the interpretation of languages. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So a few points from that. There are a list here, nine. If you count, there are nine gifts. The word they use for gifts in the original Greek is charisma. So it means a gift of grace. What does that mean? That God gives that gift because of his grace. If I have given a gift, firstly, it's not for me, it's for the common good, and it's given because God's good, not because I'm good. So, if you have a tree and it's got apples on it, what kind of tree is it? Very good. And so the fruit of the Spirit, like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, shows what's inside us that God has produced in us. So if there's a tree, and on that tree, there's a gold Rolex watch, what kind of tree is it? A what? No, it's a Christmas tree. So if at the Christmas tree you pick up your present and you open it, and there is a plastic watch that came out of a cracker from Dad to Gabriella. What does that say about Dad? He's stingy. It's from Yorkshire, yeah. If she opens the present and there's a gold Rolex watch, does it? It's not going to happen, by the way. Just so you know. To Natasha, a gold Rolex watch, it's not going to happen either. What does that say about the dad? Yeah. So, the fact is, if you have a gift, say, of miracles or healing, what it talks about is how good our Father is, how God is, not how special I am. Does that make sense? Fruit describes, tells us what's inside, what kind of tree we are. The gifts are like gifts around a Christmas tree. You don't know whether it's what kind of tree it is, a Norway spruce or the other one. You don't know. It tells us about our Father God, that He's, because they're gifts of grace. They're given in the moment for us to work those for the good. And it's for the benefit of the church. So I can't decide now to have a gift of healing or decide now to prophesy. It's the Holy Spirit that, as it says, distributes them to each one as He determines. Okay? So the next slide will show a list of the gifts. So here are the 9 gifts: message of wisdom, message of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different kinds of languages, interpretation of languages. Sometimes they're called different things. On the right-hand side, you might have heard people talk of word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation. So he gives this list, and actually he doesn't explain how they work and what they are in this list. But don't worry about that. I do plan to talk about prophecy, but the gift of prophecy kind of opens up many of the other gifts. And so that's why I want to talk about it today. Some of them are obvious. Healing is quite obvious. How you know when a gift of healing has worked is somebody's got healed. A gift of miracles, how you know when that's operating, a miracle has happened. Some of the others, we need a bit more explanation. So there's the list of the gifts. Just to summarize the next verses, because I want to summarize some of the teaching in this chapter without reading through. We'll have to read this. Your homework is to read chapters 12, 13, and 14. The next verse is verses 12 to 31 in chapter 31. Paul, the writer, describes the human body and how the church is like the human body, that we need all the parts. We need the eyes, we need the hand, and the hand can't boast to say that it's better than the foot or the eyes. We need the whole body for us to function. And we need every member of the church for the church to function. And we function together with the different gifts. Chapter 13 is a chapter on love. It's mainly about love. And it seems, it's often read on its own. But actually, it's in the context of using the gifts. And the most important thing about that chapter says that when we operate in gifts of the Spirit, we must do it in love. That's the way it must be done. We must love. It doesn't matter. He says, you could prophesy, you could have massive revelation, but if you don't love, it's empty. It's just empty. We've got to have love. And then, chapter 14, I'm going to read from verses 14. Chapter 14 describes a bit how the gifts should work. So verse 26, he writes, "What then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up." So when we come together on a Sunday or any other meeting, your groups, then the idea is that there's lots of people contributing and not necessarily somebody talking for as long as I do. So it's great that Dave came up to share that scripture that God put on his heart to share for the benefit of us all. Verse 29, so I'm skipping over a couple of verses that talks about tongues interpretation. It's not because they're not important, it's because that's not what I'm talking about today. We will talk about that another time. He writes, verse 29, let two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh what is said. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all be encouraged. And the spirit of the prophets are subject to prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. So he says here that when we come to a meeting, we all have something to contribute. We already have. That's the idea, that you already, when you come, have something that you can encourage somebody with. Okay? So that means that before you come, you need to be saying, what, God, have you given me to contribute to that meeting? Now, if it's a prophetic word, it says, let two or three speak, and then the others weigh. Why? Because there's just not time for us all to speak. But there is a lady in this church who often prophesies, often has a word of encouragement, who never has said it from the front, because that's not her thing. But after the meeting, she will be looking around and saying, God, who do I need to pray for? Who do I need to encourage? And God shows her, and she goes to that person nearly every Sunday. And so we can prophesy in the coffee queue. We can pray for healing. We can do that. But sometimes we need to hear it from the front. Two or three. It's not because God can't speak through more people. It's just that we can't cope with that much. It's not, God's not limited. We are. Does that make sense? So I want to ask you. Perhaps you don't understand a lot about gifts. That's okay. We're going to be talking more about this. So I just want to describe prophecy, and then I want to ask you a question. Prophecy, I've got a definition here. Simple. There's a lot I could say about it, but a simple definition. The gift of prophecy allows Christians to become a vessel of the voice of God to encourage others. Another definition could be receiving and speaking a message from God. So prophetic word is you somehow, in some way, get a message to be spoken to somebody or the church. So the question is anybody here who's never prophesied, or maybe only once or twice, who wants to prophesy? Can you put your hand up? You've prophesied, Mo. Anybody else would like to prophesy who's not prophesied before? Okay. We're going to pray for you in a bit. And we want to pray that you prophesy. Now, there's no guarantee you will, because the Holy Spirit determines. Holy Spirit determines. But there's a reason why we can believe, which we'll get on to, why we can expect that you could prophesy. Has anybody who's not really much prayed for somebody to be healed would like the gift of healing? Anybody put your hand up? So we're going to pray for you. Although my plan was to talk on prophecy, I really felt through the meeting that God was highlighting healing. I love that song. Can we put that song up? Sorry, I'm giving Phil some problems here. Well, the second song we sang, we're going to keep on. We believe in you for miracles, healing power breaking through. For prodigals to turn to you. We will keep on believing you for miracles, healing power breaking through. I believe for a while that we need to keep on praying for healing to break out in this church. Why? The most common miracle in the New Testament in the ministry of Jesus was healing. It said he went about healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. He went about doing good and healing all that was sick. That's what it says about him in Acts. He went about healing the sick. When he sent out the 12 and then the 72 to preach the gospel, he said, preach the gospel of the kingdom and heal the sick. The preaching of the gospel was always accompanied by healing of the sick. For me, it's just, it's kind of feels awkward that we don't see more people healed. It feels like we're not presenting God as who he is. He hasn't changed, but we're not seeing God be who he is. He is who he is, but we're not seeing it. Does that make sense? So I want to see that. For two reasons, people need to get healed, but also for God to be shown as God. God to be shown as God. So we're going to pray for that. And if you would like the gift of healing, we're going to pray for you. In fact, I want to talk, I feel just to talk about a bit more about that. Some years ago, I studied the Bible, and I wanted to know, what is the gospel that Jesus preached, his early disciples preached? What is the essence of the gospel he preached? And one thing I came up back with was this, that they always preached the gospel and healed the sick, every time. They always did that. And so I determined that I'm going to pray, every opportunity I will pray for healing if people want it. I will offer it. And I prayed, many, many people, and for a while nobody got healed. And then a friend of mine, Raymond Manahotu, a guy that is an evangelist and prays for a lot of healing, he did an outreach in the village where my parents live. And I said, I'm going up, I'm going to take my family to this meeting. My family are not Christians. So I took my mum, my dad, my dad's wife, my brother's wife went, and her mum. They all went. And at the end of the meeting, he prayed for my dad's wife. She had a bad back, but they were very unbelieving. And when I spoke to him afterwards, he really belittled my faith. And so I when he said that, I was so put down, I couldn't defend myself, and I had very little faith. My brother's wife's mother was prayed for and was immediately healed of a frozen shoulder, and she knew God had touched her. The next day, I actually, on my way back to Hereford, I went to Raymond's church and got speaking to a young lad. They had a lunch afterwards, and I was speaking to this lad who had injured his knee. And my faith was like right down there, right low. I'd been praying for healing, not seen it, and then, not a good conversation with my dad. And I said, you need to ask Ray to pray for you. So I asked Ray, could you pray for this lad? And he said, you pray for him. And he said, this guy will pray with you. And so we prayed for him, and the guy that was supposed to be praying with didn't say anything. So I prayed like I'd got faith, but I didn't. I just felt so low. And the young lad, who was not a Christian, it was his first time in church, he'd come with his mum. His knee was immediately healed, and he knew it. He said, how did you do it? He'd not been to church. He didn't know what he's supposed to say as a good, proper Christian. I think it's a good answer. How did you do it? I did say it was God, by the way. Good. Thank you. I got something right. And he was immediately healed. And he was just amazed, because he'd never experienced. He had no faith. I didn't have much faith. But I was stepping out. sometimes we need to step out with a little bit of faith we got. Little bit of faith we got. And from then on, I started to pray for people and more people got healed. And that is the experience of many churches that see healing, that they prayed and prayed for lots of people and then they started to see healing. Has anybody prayed for somebody and they didn't get healed? Most people. The thing is, what happens then when that happens a few times, we tend to stop. John Wimber was mightily used in healing. He prayed and prayed and prayed and nobody got healed for ages. And he said to God, I'm going to stop. But he couldn't. God spoke to him and said, no, you've got to carry on. And one day he was called to pray for somebody that was sick in bed and went up, laid hands, prayed, and then started to walk out. Had no expectation. And this woman got out of the bed and she said, he said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm healed. And she was healed. So the fact is, these are gifts of grace. God puts them on people. And it's not about us. But sometimes, particularly in the area of healing, we've got to press through. We've got to press through. And, you know, Tim, praise, you know, really thank Tim. He as God led him, got us to pray for healing, and very few people put their hands up. I don't actually think our church is that healthy. I'm sure there's more people that would need healing. And I know it's disappointing if you've been prayed for before and nothing happened. But don't give up. Because God, as David read, he forgives all our sins. How many people believe that when they ask God for forgiveness, he'll forgive them? Amen. And he heals all our diseases. Amen. Is that a bit harder to believe? It is. But God says it in the same sentence more than once in the Bible. Amen. For him, it is no more difficult. For us, it seems more difficult. So we can pray at any time for healing. Jesus, there's times, healed everyone. He healed everyone. But there are gifts of healing that God puts on people. Not because they're special, but because God's special and he chose to give them that gift. Anybody here feel they have a gift of healing? I haven't. Yeah? Anybody else? Yeah, you have. I know, Gary, you have. Yeah? Great. Anybody would like to have the gift of healing? Yeah. If you would like the gift of healing, we're going to pray later. So that was a bit of an aside, so I'm a little bit lost now. So I'm going to go back to prophecy, see if we'll find my flow again. 2 Peter says about prophecy, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The most common miracle that Jesus did was healing. The most common manifestation when people were filled with the Spirit is that they prophesied. So read through Acts, you'll find that they were filled with the Spirit and they prophesied. The other common one is they spoke in tongues. But it says in when the first filling of the Spirit on the disciples came, Peter quoted the prophet Joel, who said, in the last days I will pour out my Spirit on all people, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. It is expected of God's people, Christians, when they're filled with the Spirit, they will be able to prophesy. We're all sons and daughters of God. All sons and daughters of God. Some people have a particular grace in that gift. They prophesy more. So the gift of prophecy is to be strong in the church. We're to be a prophetic people. Just to say, prophecy is not telling the future. It's not fortune telling, although sometimes it might. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit given by grace, as we read. To some are given the gift of prophecy. Also, in 1 Corinthians 14:31, it says, you can all prophesy so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. Some people have a particular gift. Then it also says in 1 Corinthians 14:1, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. God encourages to desire gifts, especially prophecy. God doesn't mess with us. He's not telling us to desire something and then telling us he's not going to give it. Yeah? That makes sense? Our Father is not like that. He's not saying, desire it, and then I'm not going to give it. So yes, it does say that the Holy Spirit gives the gifts as he determines, but he tells us to desire. So my interpretation is that when we're desiring and going after prophecy, we're more likely to prophesy. But it's not guaranteed. That makes sense. It's a relationship. It's not, you know, we have a part to play. Our part is to desire and seek, to ask. And God's part is to decide and give. So when I was a young Christian, I really wanted to prophesy. I heard people prophesy, and I thought, if I could prophesy, that would mean that I could hear God. And if I could hear God, all my questions would be answered. I would never be not clear because I'd just ask God. I'd never not know the direction and never be unclear about the direction for my life or the church or anything. I'd just be able to ask God. I'd hear God and it'd be all clear. I want to tell you, it doesn't work like that. I'll explain why. And I really wanted to prophesy with mixed motives. So I encourage you to desire to prophesy, but desire it for this reason, that you want to love people and bless them and encourage and help them. Not because you think it'd be a super. I did think if I could prophesy, I would be kind of a next level Christian, upper level. I'm sure you've never thought that. Never. So John 10 verse 4 says, about Jesus says, the sheep follow him for they know his voice. We learn to recognize the voice. Everybody who's a Christian can hear God, although often we think we can't. We just need to train ourselves to hear the voice of God. So I want to jump ahead to 1 Corinthians 14, the purpose of prophecy. The purpose of prophecy is for strengthening, encouraging, and comforting. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4 says, let's say on the screen, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. Since you are, and it does say, verse 12 says, since you are eager for the gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. Prophecy is described in these chapters as the most prized gift because it builds up the church, builds up people. And how does it work? Well, it's really simple and not so simple. When people receive the Holy Spirit, they started to prophesy. They hadn't had a lesson. They hadn't had a seminar. They just started to prophesy. That's common. So I believe that the Spirit teaches us. And the problem with, I think teaching is great and workshops are great, but I don't want you to think that you have to prophesy like somebody else. So this week I was at a conference and I felt God speak to me a word which is based on a scripture, Psalm 18. For me, often God will highlight a scripture, or if I believe that God is speaking through me in prophetic word, I'll ask, and if I'm not sure, I'll ask for a scripture. And it often gives me scripture. So when David shared that scripture, I don't know whether I call it a prophecy, but it was prophetic because God wanted to speak that in the moment. And then God will speak to you in many different ways. Sometimes you get words in your head. Sometimes you just get an idea of what God wants to say. Some people get pictures in their minds. Some people meet angels. I've never had that. Some people have visions that's like as though it was projected in front of them. I've never had that. I have pictures in my mind sometime. And then God uses your personality. So this week, there was a couple that live in Paris there, and one of the leaders said, I believe there's words for France. And the word that came into my mind was baguette. And obviously, I thought, I'm not going to share that because people will think I'm being funny and flippant. I thought the same. But then God started to speak to me. I shared it later. I didn't want to share it publicly. It was basically about bread, that Jesus is the bread of life. There was a picture about sharing bread, sharing food together, and sharing the true bread, which is Jesus. But it came to me in the word baguette. Now, that's kind of like my warped dad's joke kind of thing. But God used it. God uses your personality. I'm not saying you have to do it. Please don't do that. Don't think you have to. But what I say, don't think you have to prophesy like everybody else. You don't. God speaks to you in your way. So we're going to pray in a moment. Just one other thing. The Bible says we prophesy in part. We know in part and we prophesy in part. And sometimes you can have a little bit and you think, I don't understand that. But God might want you to give it anyway. I remember one time we were praying for a guy and somebody said, well, it's just like you've come to a corner and you've gone round it. Which is fairly general, isn't it? Not specific. But for that guy who was receiving that word, he'd had previous words where God had said, you're going to come to a turning in the road and you'll know when you've gone round it. Something happened in his life that he knew that was the turning in the road. But then when he was praying with people, praying with the pastor, he said, but I don't know whether I've gone round it yet. And so a word that comes saying, you've come to a turn in the road and you've gone round it, is for him makes complete sense. But for the person giving it, it's like, oh, I don't know, well, what's that about? You don't need to. It's like you're the postman. You bring the letter. The postman doesn't open the letter and say, oh, this is from your auntie Mabel. Remember letters? Anybody remember letters? They don't read it. She wishes you well. She's had a good holiday. Oh, don't understand this bit. What's that about? No, you don't need to understand always. Sometimes you do. Sometimes you understand what it's about. But God speaks through you to that person in their situation. And we have to trust. So how do you start to prophesy? How do you start to move in gifts of healing? Firstly, I would say, ask God to fill you with the Spirit. because it starts there. Secondly, desire. Desire the gifts, but most of all, desire to help build up the church, to encourage, comfort, and edify the church. Then ask God for the gifts. Jesus said that if you've been evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give good gifts to those that ask? So ask him for it. And then you have to step out. I remember years ago, I was at a youth with a mission camp, and they were talking about spiritual gifts, and I really wanted to prophesy. And then I felt God speak to me and say, but if I give you a prophecy, you're going to have to say it. And I thought, oh no, that's terrifying. And we're in a meeting, and people started to prophesy, and I said, right now, God, okay. And the word came into mind, fear me, fear me. The fear of God is not about being afraid, it's about honoring and respecting God. But that word came into my mind, and I was so nervous I didn't give it. And the guy leading said, we really need to learn to fear God. And I went, oh no, I missed it. At some point, you're going to have to step out. And you might get it wrong. But when we say, I believe God is saying, we're saying, I think God is saying this. And the rest weigh it. It's not like, we're not like the Old Testament prophets, where their word was the law. We're doing our best to hear God and stepping out in faith. And if you step out in faith and prophesy and you get it wrong, I'm saying well done for stepping out. Well done. But I think you will get it wrong a small percentage of the time, because God is good and we are filled with his Spirit and he speaks to you and you can step out. What I would say is, if you want to prophesy more, read your Bible. God speaks most through his word, the Bible. And make a journal. So if something stands out and you think, oh, that really speaks to me, write it down. Write it down. And it may be that God is just speaking to you, but it may be that the next time you're in house group or Sunday or you meet somebody, that God reminds you and say, that verse that spoke to you will really encourage that person. So, Frances is not here today. She often comes and shares words. Most of the time, those are the words that she's written down in a journal from that week of praying and reading the Bible. So God can speak to you right now. And if you've not read your Bible this week, he can still speak to you and give you a prophetic word, because it's about him and his grace. But I would say, if you read your Bible and journal and pray, then you're more likely, it is showing some evidence of desire for spiritual gifts. That make sense? So read your Bible, make a journal, but I'm not saying that limits you. Today, God can use you in a prophetic word. Today. So we're going to pray now. We're going to ask God to fill us again with the Holy Spirit, and we're going to ask for spiritual gifts. We're going to particularly ask and pray for those that want to prophesy. If you've not prophesied before or you've only prophesied once, I really want to focus on those who've never prophesied or have very rarely prophesied. And those that want to have the gift, we're going to pray for you. You put your hand up. Where are you going? We'll pray for you. She's going in the kitchen, I think. She's on coffee. And if you desire the gifts of healing, I want to pray for you as well. Okay? So, can we play that chorus again? But if you want to receive prayer, could you come to them? If you put your hand up, that you would you've not prophesied much or never. Could you come to the front? And same with the gifts of healing. Could you come to the front? Please respond. Do you know what? It's not about how long you've been a Christian. You could have become a Christian 40 years ago or last week. God can use you from now because it's about him, not you. It's about him, not you. I want to pray for you. And you may right now receive a word. Or if you're asking for gifts of healing, ask God to speak to you about a particular thing that God wants to heal today. And we'll see where we go. Right. Okay, could you come to the front if you want to receive prayer? And we'll crack on. Sometimes we don't want to respond. Sometimes we feel heavy. We feel kind of glued to our seats. But we should respond. Joe said particularly the youth. Some of the youth, you want to respond, but you're not. Please do come. If you're feeling reluctant, but you really want, then come forward now. I want to pray for you. I need some people to pray. Can you put your hand up if you really want to receive the gift of healing? Gary Davis.
Desperate to see you break through. Your ways are higher than our ways, God who is faithful and true. We're believing you for a mighty move, the things we've never seen. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Heaven's power and lead.
If you've been asking God for the gift of prophecy, then and you didn't ask God to speak to you now, if you ask God, have you got something you want to share with the church, speak to the church or an individual, ask him now. And if you feel you only need to be like 5% sure it's a safe place, then I'd like you to share now. Come to me and we'll talk about that. If you've been prayed for gifts of healing, ask God to show you, to speak to you in some way. If there's something specific that God wants to heal today, an ailment that somebody might know, that somebody might hear that God wants to heal. Come and grab me and grab the mic. Don't be afraid to step out. God is here. God is our Father. He's good.